The reason the oppressor is given dominion over you and me is that we thought if a conflict arose between Hussein and Yazid, we would surely stand behind Hussein. But Sufism taught you and me that if oppression comes, we will still sit like a goat. We thought we were followers of Hussein, not knowing that the followers of Yazid have beards, perform late-night prayers, hold the Quran over their heads, and are memorizers of the Quran, while the followers of Hussein distribute Restart. Welcome to 87, my friend. Welcome to Restart, the most dangerous program in 700 years. Welcome to mysticism and Sufism. Welcome. Welcome to the 87th Restart program. I am Hosseini on Radio Pasteur, presenting this to you. We received a message from a lady who said, "Mr. Hosseini, what an amazing program you've put out. Truly, 1.5 million downloads for each episode and 100 million total downloads is a huge and astonishing achievement. Congratulations. Again, we've forgotten that this program isn't mine. And if the number of downloads for this program is 1.5 million and it has 22 million listeners, it's because the writers of this program are 1,000 Sufis and mystics throughout history. Meaning this isn't Hosseini's program. This program has a great writer, which includes more than 1,000 mystics, Sufis, sages, philosophers, and wise men. That's why this program has gone viral. The program Good Night Iran is my program. I am its writer and director, and its status is clear. It gets 700 to 800,000 downloads. You can come and thank me for that one. But Restart isn't mine. And if a command is to be issued, I can't issue anything from myself. If a command comes, whether it's to change a regime, or to change yourself, or even to change me, or any command that comes, I will announce that command here, but I don't say anything of my own accord. And let's not forget again that Restart has already changed the regime. You're just too caught up in the heat of the moment to realize it. Because you still don't understand how wisdom has grown in society. Assume for a moment that you are not the same person you were before. And suppose you used to go to the mosque. Now, go to the mosque again. That mullah who is speaking up there, you'll find him disgusting. It means you have fundamentally changed. That mullah can no longer come and say that Imam Hussein's horse was drowned in blood up to its neck. You'll either get up and leave upon hearing this, or you'll laugh. Because you have changed, but you don't realize it. The difference between you now and then is that back then you would have become a defender of the shrine, but now you won't go. You won't strap a suicide bomb to yourself anymore. Now you understand that there is a beauty in the world named Jesus, named Moses, named Muhammad, named Zoroaster, and heaven and hell are in their hands. You have changed, and the regime has in fact changed. 22 to 23 million listeners. The number of people applying to become defenders of the shrine has become so small that they are sending them from other countries. And many officials, whose names I don't want to mention because they don't deserve to be named in this program, are promoting the defenders of the shrine. But why? You have changed, my dear. The regime has changed. Now the Iranian government has to pay tribute to you. You can't be fooled anymore. Just as a mullah can't fool you with his words. That's why a single program suddenly gets 200 million listeners. This is due to the greatness of Rumi, Sadi, Plato, Socrates, and the likes. My pretty one, it doesn't belong to Hosseini. Who is Hosseini? This, for example, comes from the Sufis around the Complete Human that has been released. Then some of them got drunk on it. They started acting crazy, which you understood. Like Azizuddin Nasafi, a Sufi who acted crazy. He kept giving out from his tavern of secrets, and the Complete Human around him just smiled. Those writings came out. Now they have shaken us. Its medicine is shocking. Its astronomy is shocking. So the country of Iran has changed, and they have to pay tribute. Since Restart began, look how much the speeches of the mullahs and officials have changed. Now slowly, everyone is saying, let's live in peace. We must help people financially, we must provide for the economy, we must let go of the headscarves, we must not oppress. Why? Because they are scared. Restart has come. This reality came from Restart. Where did it come from? And we have changed. In the previous program, we explained that if a thief steals, there's a sentence, a very famous one, in Tathagatal Aulia, which says that if someone's job was thievery, we must cut off their hand, meaning their profession is theft. But if they stole out of hunger, we must cut off the ruler's hand. Well, a ruler only has two hands. Now, if a ruler has only one hand, it's even worse. There are no hands left. So if two people steal in Iran, we have to cut off both hands of the ruler. Then we go to the Expediency Council and see there are 15 of them without two hands. 30 hands. So if 30 people steal, 30 more hands will be cut off. The empire of Sufism means this. Then where do we go? We go to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and see that their leaders are 40 people, so it must be cut from the top down. Now you calculate the number of thefts in Tehran. These thefts due to hunger are so numerous that we shouldn't have officials with hands, we should have officials without hands and feet, meaning really just a torso lying in the middle of a melon patch. A melon patch is where they grow melons, for example, agricultural lands. If we see officials with all four limbs, this itself is an important point. Or some are from the guard. They have guards. It's very important, he says, with all this thievery, why does the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps have three legs? Because of this idiot. We haven't had the chance to bring the empire of Sufism, and its constitution will be specified, and I've told you several times, and repeating this is so that all those who are not Ristartes will be indoctrinated and taught by wise and knowledgeable Ristartes, so they understand that the laws that Cyrus the Great had, 22 constitutional laws, that no one in the world who ever claims to have them punch them in the mouth. They found a tablet, and they can't even read it. They think it's written in Japanese. It has about 22 specific and important constitutional laws, of which I have mentioned two, and 20 are still left, and we won't talk about these 20 now. These laws greatly help in building a proper city, and for any person who wants to come to power, it doesn't matter to restart followers now who want to be a king or if it will be a republic. It's not important at all. We will create and establish the city planning and write the laws with Sufi-like grace, so that whoever comes to power, with whatever form of government, cannot do such a foolish thing. And the freedom to own firearms is part of the constitutional laws. The right to bear arms is one of the fundamental laws, meaning there must be freedom to buy and sell weapons in the country, and every Iranian must have a weapon at home so they can adjust their scope from 36 houses away and shoot that religious army guy in the head who is standing there raping his wife and child, hitting them with his fist. Then let's see if anyone dares to do anything foolish. So if this law of firearms is not in any constitution, it's all hot air. This is one of them. Another one, we've said two, the other 20 must be said. And there are many smaller details too, so they have nothing of Cyrus's law. They are all lying. No one has it except Restart. Except Restart, no one has the laws. See how many times I've said it. No one has it. They cut a piece and threw it in front of Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and the others, and the American Constitution was created. Then the rest was copied from the American Constitution. They cut a piece and threw it, and these guys smartly picked it up, and kudos to their intelligence, they used it. So these constitutional laws of the country are very important. So if there is a thief in society, according to Azizuddin Nasafi, the great Sufi, the great philosopher, who is at fault? Number one is his mom and dad. Number two is the ruler. Number three is the people, meaning the thief is 10th in line for blame. It's very cool. You know what that means. The sperm of the child. Azizuddin Nasafi says that at the moment the sperm settles in the womb, the reason the child becomes a thief is that our knowledge about having children is weak. I explained this last week. What does it mean? It means that if we know what our constellations are like right now, and where they are going and what they are doing, and if we know that this woman we have married is actually with us or not with us, if we know how to choose a wife, man, when they want to sell a good horse, my pretty one, this is a scientific thing. When they want to sell a good horse, they first go and check the horse's lineage. Then they mix this lineage with another lineage, and it becomes a magnificent horse. It becomes Rostam's horse, for example. So how is it that you go and marry a woman or a woman goes and marries a man and then doesn't check this horse's lineage for childbearing, and then a girl or a boy might produce a child with these same people and produce an idiot. But if this girl produces a child with another boy, she gives birth to a scientist. So what did I explain? I said, sir, the best monarchy is an aristocracy. Which aristocracy? The aristocracy of the queen bee, the Sufi-like aristocracy of termites, of ants. Why? Because that Sufi-like one arranges and specifies the soul of this termite nest in such a way that the production of that family's children is also in the hands of that aristocracy, meaning the soul of that family of termites. I explained it very simply. What does it mean? It means it knows everything. This aristocratic government has not yet been discovered in the world. Plato explained it, the mystics and Sufis of Iran explained it, and then because they didn't publish their books, didn't release the writings, the world still hasn't understood this matter. It has clung to the stupidest form of government, which is democracy. Well, that's why theft increases, murder increases, crime increases, stupidity increases. The beehive and the termite nest have a soul. This soul is specific. Now, for example, take a chicken and bring it into the house, Mr. Hosseini, and we turn the lights on and off. It keeps laying eggs. Yes, the chicken is dumb. What does it do? It comes and every 12 hours, you turn the lights on and off, it lays 2 eggs a day. But this egg it's laying is not the egg we used to eat. A dictatorial rule has been imposed on it. What does that mean? It means the soul of the chicken farm, where the chicken is supposed to lay eggs. The soul of the chicken farm is dictatorial. That is, man has come and keeps turning the light on and off. It suggests to the chicken that the sun has set, the sun has risen, creating an artificial sun. It means it creates an artificial supreme leader. It means it creates a foolish artificial king up there. It means it takes control of day and night to fool the chicken. But it doesn't know it's not fooling the chicken, it's fooling itself, because that egg is not made with love. This egg that the chicken lays now, before, it used to come up with the sun, eat and go with the sunset. This egg is not really that egg anymore. Its vitamins decrease. The more eggs the chicken lays, its condition changes. This child is no longer a legitimate child. It's not clear who this chicken had a temporary marriage with or didn't have one, who read its marriage contract. Its marriage contract was read by a chicken farm whose morning, noon, and night are all mixed up. So the soul of the oppressor has an effect. Well, so if a government is dictatorial, Aziz Odin Nasafi says, the soul of that oppressor and the silence of the people produce illegitimate children. Do you get this? You don't get it. Why? Because this is for 50 years from now, when DNA will be discovered. Scientists will sit down and say, if it becomes like this, it's bad over there, we are short a few professors. They'll say, two in physics. They'll say, ladies, tonight, give your unclear intonu over there. A child is produced, two professors. We haven't reached this knowledge yet. We haven't yet reached this knowledge to have an aristocratic government where the wise rule and explain the conditions to you, explain the perspective, explain the way of thinking and the soul of the society. Why? Because when a member is afflicted with pain by fate, other members are left with no peace. Sadi. How can you think that a boy in a prison of a government that is beheading him, pulling out his fingernails, a child conceived tonight is at peace? You think it doesn't understand? That child's sperm is being planted at the very moment they are cutting off a child's hand in prison, and you have remained silent. The soul of the ruler is influencing this. It's like turning night into day for the egg. You don't understand this. You change the queen bee, the soul of the bee society changes. What happens? It becomes a dictatorship. The honey that is produced is no longer that honey. Yes, instead of 1 kilo, you produce 6 kilos, but you give 6 kilos of honey to the people. They eat it. They see they haven't been moved. Nothing has happened. It's very simple. The matter is very simple. So, When a member is afflicted with pain by fate, it's not about my leg and your leg. No, sir, whatever happens in society. When you are voting, it means you are saying, I agree with the oppressor. When you say you agree with the oppressor, you destroy the spiritual events of society. Your neighbor's daughter is born with problems. Then you say, what are these diseases? What are these cancers? What are these depressions? Why did the Islamic Republic introduce group sex and you liked it? Why are boys and girls no longer in love with each other? You don't know why? Because your sperm was formed under a dictatorial government and it can't be fixed. Well, now you want this government to go and a democracy to come. When you see that you don't know if your child is a boy or a girl, you're up in the air again. Why? Because you still haven't understood the concept of this matter. So every single verse from Rumi, Sa'di, and Hafez, what is it called? It's equal to a constitutional law, meaning one of its verses becomes a constitutional law and you don't pay attention to it. Later you will understand that this very verse is that very important constitutional law that existed. So at the time of the creation of the sperm in the womb, Azizuddin Nasafi explains, the child's face is formed, sir. What does it even mean that the child's face is formed? Azizuddin Nasafi explains, he says the child's face is supposed to be formed on a certain date. Who does the mother look at? Mr. Hosseini has turned on the Gem channel and is watching a movie. It's over. Azizuddin Nasafi says, we are arranging the child's face. My pretty one. Look, it makes no difference to him at all. The complete human. It makes no difference to him. Look, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, at 8 years old, Abd al-Muttalib passed away. Then the complete human changed. In another place when he returned, Barada became his complete human. Until he saw the complete human, meaning he saw Barada, and he didn't give him any instructions, and he didn't go to the cave of Hira, he didn't understand anything. When he went to the cave of Hira, he understood. In mysticism and Sufism, on the path of spiritual journeying, meaning he understood that this individual in front of him who says, Ikra bismi rabbika ladhi khalaqa, meaning, read in the name of your Lord who created, as you say, read. This is the same Gabriel. Who is Gabriel? The same beautiful one of his own era, he later understood. Gabriel is in the complete human, then slowly, a human reaches a place where they see nothing but God. Behold, to what extent is the station of humanity. These are all poems that are explaining to you. Azizuddin Nasafi says, O dervish, know that in the sperm of a human, the body and soul of the human and the talent and actions of the human are written. And a human is compelled in the being of his body and soul, and in the being of his talent, he is also compelled. He's talking about within the sperm. These two lines I read are still about 900 years away from being discovered. If you want, because these become documents, these sounds will remain. O dervish, know that in the sperm of a human, the body and soul of the human, well, the body is obvious, and the soul of the human is in there, and the talent and the tasks that a human is meant for, the actions of the human are written, meaning his talent is written in it. And a human is compelled in the being of his body and soul and in the being of his talent. He is also compelled, but in performing his actions, he has free will. So you can transfer the talent of being a scientist and a philosopher at that moment, he mentioned in those 4 points. Meaning, God willing, one day scientists will discover and say, Sir, let's produce 2 showmen tonight, this year. The sperm of a showman is written. The same thing that is happening with termites and bees. You kill a worker, it's a worker. It's next child. You never produce a minister. When there is a minister, one doesn't produce the next minister, and no worker becomes a minister. Now look at Iranian society. Everyone's place has been switched. A person, for example, the president, whose name I don't want to mention now, could have been a very good worker. Why president? What should we do with him? We have to think that now he has to do something with the melon patch. He has to do it that way. We multiply the jobs by 4.5, comedy stuff. What does it mean to multiply jobs by 4.5? He says we will create 8 million jobs. If you could create them, you would have fixed your own child. You idiot. What are you going to fix? What are you going to fix in the country? He says these things are written in the sperm. What does it mean? Let's give you an example. Look, the earth rotating on its axis is compulsion. The earth revolving around the sun is compulsion. This is fate. No king in the world in these last 108,000 years until now has been able to do a damn thing to stop the earth from rotating, to make the earth rotate backwards, to stop the sun from shining, to stop the earth from revolving around the sun. No king, no president, no intelligence ministry, no one can do such a damn thing in the world. No scientist, no rich person, no professor, no one in the world in the last 108,000 years, as you and I are talking, can stop the rotation of the earth, and the earth rotates on its axis at its own rate and revolves around the moon and the sun at its own rate. This is compulsion. Let's set aside these few years. Before Noah's time, there was a period of 7, 8, 10, 20 years where they had flight outside of compulsion. And for a period of about, say, 17,000 consecutive years, this happened. Let's set these aside, these short periods where we went outside of compulsion, sent our own rovers to Mars. Let's set these aside. No human can go out of the atmosphere with their nose. Any human who goes out of the atmosphere with their nose dies. They have to strap on a capsule to go up. That's it. This is called compulsion. This compulsion is that now with the best global equipment and facilities, you can't go to Mars in 2 hours. You have to go and orbit that planet, use the centrifugal force of that planet, then be launched to orbit another planet, again use the centrifugal force of that planet. Orbit, orbit, orbit. Now be launched with a greater speed to go further, meaning we use the speeds, the powers, the gravitational fields, the magnetic fields of other planets, and we still only dare to send this spacecraft, not ourselves. This is compulsion. But whether you want to plant melons or watermelons in your land, the choice is yours. Now, if you know the celestial spheres, if you know astronomy, if you know astrology, if you know meteorology, if you know space, you know that on the 11th it will rain like a flood, so you don't plant a fruit that the flood will wash away. You are free within your fertile land. Compulsion and choice can be easily seen in the global community, in global science. You can't meddle with Pluto at all. You can't do a damn thing. I can't do a damn thing in Andromeda. I can't prevent the electron from revolving around the nucleus. I can't. Scientists did this once or twice. Hiroshima went up in the air. It's that simple. So oxygen on Earth is compulsion. Leaving here is compulsion. Within the limits of your own thoughts, what can you do? You can have free will. Now why? He asks here, one by one. He comes and explains compulsion and choice beautifully. Azizuddin Nasafi. What does it mean? Look, we can't teach love. What does that mean? We can't send your mom to a class. Sir, can't you do something so my mom loves me more? Send her to a psychology class. No, we can't. A mother's love for her child is innate love, as they say. It's a love of guardianship. As they say, it's a love of sovereign authority. A mother's love for her child is a love that has been given, given from somewhere in the sperm. No child ever wants to kill their mother. They can't. They love her. It's not in their hands, this same mother. Her aunt might be uglier or prettier. She doesn't have the same feeling for her. This feeling of a mother for her child is the feeling of the complete human for you and me. Nietzsche has a sentence. It's not bad to say it. His sentences are also very beautiful. A mystic named Nietzsche has a very beautiful sentence. In his Übermensch, which is this same complete human, he says, "Sir, explain the difference between the complete human and you and me." They ask him, "What is the difference between the complete human and a human?" He says, "The difference between the complete human and you and me is exactly the difference between you and me and an ape." I mean, look how beautifully he is explaining it. He says, "If I call an ape brother, how upset would you get? The ape whose antics we imitate with its ugly, shameful, and absurd movements." He says we are like that in relation to the complete human, meaning we are apes in front of him. Nietzsche says this. He says that's why we are ashamed for him to even look at us. What should we say now? Should we say we are all subordinates of the complete human? He says, sir, what are you four apes saying in the middle of this? Nietzsche says it, I don't. He says there is that much difference between an ape and me, and that much difference between me and the complete human, the Übermensch, and everything is in him. So he says, sir, the talent of the human soul is written in the sperm. So remember, Azizuddin Nasafi also explained the spermatology, which I told you about last time. He divides the sperm into four parts, and with today's global science, it's not just current, it's ahead of the science of 200 years from now. And in being his talent, he is also compelled, but in doing his actions, he is free, because the body and soul, the talent of man in the sperm of man, is written in a partial way, and the actions of man in a general way, written in a general way. That is, the quantity and quality of the soul and body, the talent, is written in the sperm, and the body and soul and talent of man are predetermined. But the quantity and quality of actions are not written in the sperm. Very simply, he is explaining beautifully. Your question is, sir, excuse me, why does this child not have one leg? Azizuddin Nasafi says the reason it doesn't have a leg is because look what your two previous generations did. Did they accept the oppressor? Did they curse? Did a neighbor curse someone? Did you kill the cats? Did the children cut down the trees? This has nothing to do with that mother and father whose child has a problem. One thing is that the mother and father can be careful, but it has nothing to do with it. The children of Adam are members of one body. Anywhere, if someone is being killed in Syria right now, and you are smiling and happy, wait for it, that you yourself, or your child, or your grandchild will give birth to a child that you will understand. This is a global connection, a global soul. Puncture any part of a car tire, it will burst. They say it got a flat. Puncture any part of the circle of the tire, it's flat. This is called the soul of the tire. But Mr. Hosseini, I punctured this side of it, the other side is also flat. I didn't even puncture it, it ran over a nail, it's flat. Mr. Hosseini, the neighbor, punctured it, it's flat. It's flat, the car won't go. This is the soul of the air in the tire. This is a universal law. Mr. Hosseini, I stuck a nail in my aunt's hand. Well, my aunt said, ouch. Bravo. I stuck it in her eye. She also said, ouch. Bravo. I stuck it in her ear, too. She says, ouch. Isn't this person sick? I say, no, this is a single soul. The children of Adam are members of one body, means you stick this nail anywhere on your aunt. She says, ouch. It makes no difference if it's in her ear or in her hand or on the back of her neck. Stick it in her head. It makes no difference. Her ouch is shared. I was surprised. I stuck it in her hand. She says, ouch. I stuck it in her eye. She says, ouch. Is it possible that she should only say ouch in one place? No, no. It's a flat tire. Wherever you puncture it, it's flat. This person went to prison. I don't know why my livelihood is scarce. That person went to prison. You don't understand this. You know, you don't raise the camera higher to see the whole picture. You're stuck on yourself, your wife, your child to eat. It doesn't matter if they slaughter that sheep. It means, for example, that other family is also a sheep, and you are a sheep, and I am a sheep, and he is also a sheep. It doesn't matter that they are going to the slaughterhouse to be beheaded. We are waiting for our turn to be taken and beheaded too. This is called the single soul. The children of Adam are members of one body means this. It means if we tell Sadi to write a constitution, he'll say, sir, whoever insults anyone has insulted me. The law on insults changes. Sir, whoever slaps anyone, it's as if that guy slapped him in Italy. So Italy, in order for their children's sperm not to be corrupted, must attack Iran and discipline it. So the attack of country X on country Y, which had a dictator, and they removed him. That's right. Now, whatever you do in Iran, in the middle of Japan, a child's sperm has a problem. You are reducing the number of scientists. You are reducing the number of conscious people. You are reducing the number of great people. You are reducing the number of philosophers. You are reducing the number of Sufis. Azizuddin Nasafi has explained everything. I really don't know. One of these guys, look, he loses it. He puts out things that shake a person and the world. Now, all religions say that the companions of the Imam of the time are 313, which I explained last time. 313 means 313, which means three dimensions of length, width, and height. That one in the middle is time, which is very important, which we will explain to you later. And its 3D aspect is three other laws, and from other dimensions that are very important, and you have it here, but you don't see it, like the acceleration of gravity that you don't see. You don't see that either. Azizuddin Nasafi speaks completely contrary to all religions. They ask Azizuddin Nasafi when the world will end. He says, the world has 356 mystics and Sufis, who is in a state of being one, meaning Azizuddin says this one is the pole of the universe. This one means the Imam of the time, meaning the Mahdi, meaning that one. After that, there are three people. There are three others who are in the world. After the three people, there are five people. After the five people, there are seven people. After the seven people, there are 40 people. After 40 people, there are 300 people. If you add them up, it's 356. See? 313 has passed. For example, he says at any time, for example, now he says 356 of these great Sufis, philosophers and Sufis and so on, they all exist. They exist. He says whenever one of these dies, from the population of 7 billion, 8 billion, one person enters that group of 300. For example, if a complete human dies, one of the three after him becomes the complete human. From the 5-1 comes into the 3. From the 7-1 comes into the 5. From the 41 comes into the 7. From the 301 comes into the 40. From the rest of the people, one comes into the 300. When will the world end? When we no longer have 300 people. And the number of 300 people decreases. So now we have to see. So now you and I can't understand. Only the Sufis, only the complete human knows how many people there are in the world, which might be 124 right now. Meaning from 124, it's coming into the 40. These are passing away one by one. He says the last individual, the complete human, remains at the end. Meaning everyone has died, one complete human remains. When that one is finished, the world ends, because the world is in him. Well, this is imagination. This is a movie. This is Superman. It's not. It's not like that. You have to go into it to see where the soul of these humans is. When time and space are removed, meaning we remove time and space, what do we see? We have to see this. Only Albert Einstein understood this, and the world still hasn't understood. And he only released a little bit of it. The rest is understood from the dimension of time. So this same time, 3-1-3, that they jokingly say, the Imam of the time has 313 companions, that one in the middle, which is time. When we remove it there, we see a gigantic creature that they call Gabriel. He says, where is this? They say it's the entire Milky Way galaxy. We ask, what are you in? He says, it's in the next dimension. See the next one, see the next one. This time and space, they've got you and me stuck, so we don't understand. This is called the dimension of time and the dimension of space. This is also an example. Now, in religions, their words are mostly jokes, because neither do we understand what it is, nor can we talk about it. So the sperm of a thief came into society. The oppressor came into society. Rumi says in one verse, what is in the jug is what comes out of it. This is the global society. No creature is buried on Mars. In these 108,000 years, whoever has lived on Earth has also been buried here. In this entire Earth, in the billions upon billions, billions, billions of galaxies that are just in the first bubble, on one Earth we make so much fuss and give opinions about compulsion and choice, and it's very interesting.
Before this you thought more of lovers, your affection for us was famous throughout the horizons, the complete human. May that one be remembered who, at the time of departure, did not remember us, and did not gladden our grieving heart with a farewell. The heart, in hope of a sound that might reach you, lamented in this mountain in a way that even Farhad did not. Before this green roof and azure arch were raised, the sight for my eyes was the arch of the beloved's eyebrow. From the dawn of eternity to the end of the eve of forever, friendship and love were upon one covenant and one pact. If the shadow of the beloved fell upon the lover, what of it? We were in need of him. He was eager for us. The concept of eager is very meaningful. In need is meaningful. We were in need of him. He was eager for us. I entrust you to the number one person in the universe. In the competitions of running, astronomy, stargazing, giving Gabriel, slaughter Azrael, the greatest killer in the world, meaning the complete human who kills just like that through Azrael, and no creature in the world dies unless he permits it. I entrust you to the greatest killer in human history, the complete human, someone whose anger is the same as his kindness. His anger is a sign of the presence of the universe, and his kindness is also a necessity for the universe. Because, Baistian, every breath that is inhaled is a prolongation of life, and when it is exhaled, it is a refresher of the self. Thus, in every breath there are two blessings, and for every blessing a thanks is due. Sadi. So, for every breath, for every slaughter, for every kindness, several thanks are due. I entrust you to the greatest killer in the history of the universe, to someone whom you will understand after episode 100. That no leaf falls from the earth unless he wills it, and he knows the dance of the leaves and the dance of the wind among the leaves, and is completely familiar with its physics and mathematics formulas. I entrust you to the killer of the world, but we ask him to smile at us at the moment of our killing. Farewell.